is my dad's Bible.
Amen.
Are your kids still in here?
No, they're downstairs.
They're downstairs. Okay. I like to show them this. I like to let them touch it. This is my book of Luke. So if you can imagine how much space my Bible takes up at home. Kevin and I only have one of these. There's not enough room for two of them. My shelf space is taken up with Hebrew. I teach Hebrew at Anderson University. I don't just teach blind students. I had all sighted students this summer. Yeah. We had an online course, and everybody been A's. We had a good time.
Yeah.
So, that was supposed to be my illustration. I'm glad we have people over on this side because that's where I can see. I have a little bitty pinpoint in my eye that I can see out of. So I have to make sure that I look around intentionally. Mm-hmm. I brought this up for a reason because we're going to be talking about somebody who wanted to see Jesus and he had to do special things to see Jesus. It wasn't because he was blind. It was because he was short. Lots of people ask me if I would want to be sighted and they like to pray for me and bring up all the latest eye surgeries and stuff. Nobody ever asked me if I'd want to be tall. Let me tell you, I'd want to be tall. I've learned to live with this, and I've learned to do Hebrew this way, and I'm very happy about it. I have surgeries every couple of years to make sure that I can still see, but man, I'd like to be a little bit taller. Because when I open my kitchen cabinets, things wouldn't fall out on my head. I usually call Kevin to come get things for me so they won't fall on my head. But boy, oh boy, would I love to be tall. Everybody know this story about Zacchaeus?
Yes.
You still teach it to your kids?
Yeah.
Do you teach them the little song with motions? Do they still teach it that way?
Yes.
Anyway, I'm not going to make you get up and do motions. But I think Zacchaeus can probably identify with wishing he was taller.
Yeah.
I'm going to let you read your verses at home. If you want them, they're in Luke chapter 19. But I'm going to tell the story because I grew up with people telling stories. I didn't have a Bible when I was growing up. To get one of these volumes, they used to be in hardback. And they were very heavy and they cost $40 for just one of them. Hmm. And it took 20 of them to fill up a whole Braille Bible. So I didn't have a Bible when I was growing up. I had to rely on people telling me stories.
Amen.
So I'm going to give you an experience of that. And I'm going to count on everybody not to stare out the windows and fall asleep and things. So this is also how they used to have to do it in biblical times. They didn't have Bibles. They had to come and listen.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what was happening when Zacchaeus wanted to see Jesus. Jesus was coming through town and he was going to do some teaching. And everybody got curious when Jesus came through town because some of them wanted to hear what he was going to say. Some of them wanted to see what kind of neato miracles he was going to do because maybe he'd heal somebody. And some of them were very suspicious of him. They wanted to catch him doing something wrong. And we had all kinds of people like this in the crowd. And Zacchaeus wanted to see Jesus just like everybody else. But he was short. And so he had to climb a tree. I never learned how to climb a tree. I always was curious about why people thought it was so fun.
Mm-hmm.
My granny had a big tree in her front yard, and my dad probably doesn't remember this, but he tried to teach me how to climb it one time. I wasn't any good at it, and I hated dirt. And I discovered that if you were going to climb a tree, you had to get dirty. Dirt in your fingernails, dirt on your pants, dirt all over your body. And I hated it. So I quit trying to learn how to climb a tree and I really didn't care about being up that high. It didn't give me a better view either. But it did give Zacchaeus a better view. So he climbs up at the top of a sycamore tree. When we read this in English, we get the word sycamore, and I don't know what you guys think of when you think of sycamore tree, but there's this particular sycamore tree in America that has lots of branches. Mm-hmm. In the Middle East, that's not the sycamore tree that exists. The sycamore tree in the Middle East has branches down low that you can sit in, and up high it has its fruit, and it feeds poor people. It's called Ficus sycamoris, and you can look up its picture on the internet and see the difference between that and what we call a sycamore tree, which is not Ficus sycamoris. Mm-hmm. So Zacchaeus is up in this tree, and you can actually probably see him sitting in the tree. In addition to being short, there are some things about Zacchaeus that are important. Whenever things about a person are important, we find them out. And when they're not important, we don't know. We just have no idea anything about the person. Zacchaeus is rich, and he's the chief tax collector. It's kind of like what would happen if the head of the IRS came and climbed up a tree. And so his profession makes him a member of a group of people that is automatically stigmatized. It doesn't really matter if they're honest or not. He's automatically suspect. And so people are grumbling. We do this a lot. We've been doing it this election season. They probably got rich by taking money out of the backs of the poor. We do this a whole lot. People today do it in their houses, they do it on Facebook, they do it all over the place. They never take their complaints to the person unless they're a journalist. And they don't take their complaints to Zacchaeus either. They take them to Jesus. How come you're eating with tax collectors and sinners? And Zacchaeus is there hearing this. And Jesus gets his chance to answer, but first Zacchaeus answers. If you read this in English, it sounds like repentance language. He says, if I've defrauded anyone, I will repay them four times. Mm-hmm. That sounds like repentance language, doesn't it? Mm-hmm. In the Greek, it's present tense. It says, if I've defrauded anyone, I repay them four times. And that's important language, because when someone repents in the Bible and Jesus offers forgiveness, that is also something that we always know about. Mm-hmm. If you read healing narratives and Jesus forgives someone, he always says, your sins are forgiven. And it usually provokes a big controversy because the Pharisees don't think he has authority to forgive sins. But here, Zacchaeus is using the present tense. If I've defrauded anyone, I repay them four times over. In order for that to happen, someone has to accuse him, and he has to go back and check his records. As a chief tax collector, he would have those. But these people aren't accusing him. They're just grumbling about who Jesus is bothering to spend his time with. This is not an attack on Zacchaeus. This is an attack on Jesus' honor. And Jesus responds by giving Zacchaeus his place in the community. This is a confrontation with the religious community. It has nothing to do with Zacchaeus' heart. We think Jesus is going to go home and spend time with Zacchaeus and preach the gospel to him, because Jesus says, hey, Zacchaeus, come down, I'm staying at your house today. Notice he doesn't just go, hey, Zacchaeus, how you doing up there? That's what we do in church today. We go, hey, how you doing? Nice to see you. And then we go home. And that's what we call community. That's not community. But Zacchaeus responds to the community by confronting what they say about Zacchaeus, and by taking Zacchaeus' statement, and he says, he is a son of Abraham too. This community prides themselves on two things. One is how perfectly they follow the law, the Jewish law. And the Jewish law says, if you look it up in Exodus, it says that if you defraud somebody, you have to pay them back twice. And the second thing is they're all genealogically descended from Abraham. These are meticulous matters of genealogy for Jews. But Jesus is saying here that Zacchaeus has followed the law better than they do. And it's the practice of following the law and being better at it that makes him a son of Abraham. And he belongs in their community. Quit your grumbling and take up your issues. Jesus ends his interaction by saying, the Son of Man has come to seek and save the lost.
Amen.
He's not just talking about sinners. He's talking about people who are disconnected from community by Amen. Stigma. There's lots of ways to be disconnected by stigma.
Amen.
When people come into church and they don't experience fellowship, they don't stick around very long.
Sure.
And when they don't stick around very long, they develop grudges against the church. They will not come back. It doesn't mean they stop believing in God, but it does mean they have a hard time belonging in the community of faith. William Barclay says, in the New Testament, lost does not mean damned or doomed. It simply means in the wrong place.
Mm-hmm.
Think about lost coins.
Amen.
A thing is lost when it's got it out of its own place and into the wrong place. And when we find such a thing, we return it to the right place that ought to occupy.
Right.
When a man is lost, when he wanders away from God and he's found when he once again returns to his rightful place.
Amen.
And is an obedient child in the house of God.
Great job.
When we think about people who go away from church for various reasons, sometimes they become very disobedient for lots of reasons.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes they're still as obedient as they know how to be when they don't have a community of faith. And restoring them is a matter of relationship. There are two elements in the restoration of community that are important for us to take note of here. One is the retrieval of the lost person. That's what Jesus does when he has lunch with Zacchaeus. He's bothering to relate to him as a person he's not afraid of.
Amen.
The second element is confronting the factors in the community that keep a person disconnected. This is what Jesus is doing when he stops the people from grumbling and he bothers to defend Zacchaeus as a son of Abraham. He is sticking up for him in front of the whole community. He's not just being passive about having lunch at Zacchaeus' house and thinking maybe nobody will notice. He's standing up for him in front of everyone else around him. And this second element is something that I think sometimes church people have a hard time with. I do. It's easy to bring a person to church one time. It's a lot harder to stand with that person against stigmatization that happens inside the church. Because
mm-hmm.
we can't do it just once. Sometimes we have to keep doing it. And keep doing it, and keep doing it.
Man.
What are you doing hanging around with that stinky person? Why are you having that smoker in your home? That's dirty. Why are you hanging around with that person? They haven't stopped cussing yet.
Mm-hmm.
Because that person needs love.
Yes.
Sometimes people say to me things like, we're all just imperfect sinners saved by grace, and we don't know how to do this yet. That's true. All of us are sinners saved by grace. But as we live in community and as we are sinners being saved by grace and perfected into the image of Christ, we need to use that image, that grace, to live as Christ would live.
Amen.
And not as an excuse to push another person away. Today, we are the hands and feet of Jesus.
Yes.
Jesus does not walk through town and there's nobody climbing trees to see him. But people are craving that interaction with that Christ-like welcoming spirit. And it is we who do the work of seeking and saving the lost.
Yes.
So my question to you is, who in your life is the lost?
Amen.
Throughout biblical narrative, in the Gospels especially, Jesus has a very keen awareness of people who are seeking him. That's one of my most special interests in research. So who in your life is seeking Jesus? Who is that lost person that maybe you can reach out to?
Amen.
You don't have to say, hey, I'm going to go stay at your house today. That's a little uncomfortable. I don't know about you, but my house isn't ready for company. I like to plan ahead. But who is it that maybe you can invite to lunch?
Amen.
To have some fellowship with? And who needs your help to stand against some painful experiences that have happened in the Christian community? That is seeking and saving
Amen.
The lost. I want to acknowledge today is a day that we hold the hands of people who grieve.
Yes.
We hold the hands of people who grieve their losses.
Yes.
And those losses are things that cause bitterness sometimes.
Mm.
And we are still struggling as a nation to come to terms with how we live, with the memory of what happened 15 years ago.
Yes.
Do we strike out in anger, or do we do something different? Because we've never had something this big to deal with. 15 years ago, I was holding a little baby. And while I was hearing this crazy news that I couldn't comprehend, on one hand, and experiencing this terror for our future as a country, on the other hand, I had this little baby who was screaming and who needed to be still. And that is the same kind of tension that we hold in our hands today.
Amen.
On this one hand, we have terror. And on this other hand, we have hope. We have good news that we can share.
Yes.
Choose good. Choose hope. Choose to seek and save the lost.
Amen.
Be the light.
Amen.
God bless you.